Yeah, Christmas, it's not about Santa and elves and the North Pole and buying and giving, and it's about a Savior. It's about the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to this world, when God came to us in the form of a baby, and that baby grew up, and we've come to know Him as the only Lord and Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can we thank the Lord for that? And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Thank you for coming and celebrating the birth of our King on Christmas Eve. What an incredible night it's already been. I want to give a special thanks to our cast, our staff, and our crew. Didn't they do a wonderful job? A lot of work, a lot of rehearsal, a lot of time goes into a production like that. I want to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 9, two verses of scripture. It says, "For to us a child has come, to us a son is given, and the government has been placed in His hands, and He has been named Wise Guide, Strong God, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. On the increase of His rule and of peace there will be no end, on the seed of David and in His kingdom, to make it strong, supporting it with wise decision and righteousness, now and forever." I'd like for us to read the last part of this verse out loud together. "By the fixed purpose of the Lord of armies, this will be done." Let's pray. God, we thank You by Your fixed purpose, the Lord of armies, You will make sure this is accomplished. And by the fixed purpose of the Lord of armies, Your plan, Your will, and Your purpose in each of our lives, I declare, will be done because of what Christ has already done for each of us and for the whole world, as many as will believe. It's in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, that I pray. Everyone said, amen and amen. Hey, we've been in a series the last several weeks for Advent season. The term Advent means coming. And Christmas is when we celebrate the first Advent, or the first coming of Jesus. The second Advent is an entirely different experience that the world is yet to witness. So Advent season, we're focusing on Christ and the gift that God brought into the world through the giving of His only begotten Son. And we've talked about Christ is the gift of peace because He's the Prince of Peace. We've talked about how Christ is the gift of power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived and gave birth to the Christ child. God's power can come upon your life and my life. We talked about how God's gift to us this Christmas season is His presence, the gift of God's presence through the person of Jesus Christ, that He came to live among us, and now He lives in us by way of the new birth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we're going to complete this series talking tonight about the gift of purpose. That God has a purpose. He had a purpose in sending His Son. Jesus had a purpose in going to the cross. There is a purpose for your life and for my life. So let's talk about how that God is a God of purpose, and everything He does is for a purpose, and He has a purpose for your life, which means God doesn't do anything by an accident. Nothing is done accidentally. Speaking of accidents, A year ago this very night, after we had concluded two amazing Christmas Eve services, and these are some of the funnest services that we have all year long, as our tradition, we were packed up, the Toadie family was packed up and ready to drive to Albuquerque so we could spend Christmas morning with our family there in Albuquerque. And so Gloria and I were at home, my youngest son Jonathan was at home, and we were waiting for Nathan, my oldest son, who was a part of last year's performance as he was a part of this year's performance. And we were waiting and waiting, and he was no show. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from him. Parents, how many know that when you get a phone call from your kids, you know something's wrong? They never call. They text, but they never call. I'm like, "Hello, Nathan, Dad." I'm like, "Ah, yes, I've been in an accident." I'm like, "What?" The first question every dad has to ask, whether he wants to or not, are you okay? The fact that I was talking to him, I knew he was okay. Like, yeah, is everybody else okay? Yeah, but it's, you better get here. Oh, great. So all the Christmas joy just left my heart. So we jump in the car, we drive down, and it happened just on the access road here. As he was leaving church last year, he rear-ended one of our long-standing members, who then rear-ended a new member. Where two or three are gathered, there's an accident. We got out, police officer showed up. He was so kind and gracious on Christmas Eve. Poor guy had to work. He saw everything was on the up and up. He said, hey, listen, I had an accident when I was around your age. Speaking to Nathan, he said, I'm not even going to give you a citation. We had an opportunity to meet the second car that was hit after the first car was hit by my son. And we, you know, had a nice conversation. They said, hey, we're new at Trinity. We've always wanted to meet you. Sorry, it had to happen under these circumstances. But you know, I always envy those who have been driving for some time and have never been in an auto accident. Now, we're not superstitious here at Trinity, but I would just like to know how many of you that have been driving for a while have never been in an automotive accident. Would you raise your hand? All five of you, okay. That's what I thought. Some point in time, we've all, God forbid, but we've all been in an accident, or we've, God forbid, have caused an accident. And I was thinking about that, related to God, that God has never had an accident. God has never made a mistake. It's totally outside of the realm of possibility that God could ever make a mistake. God doesn't do anything accidentally. God, the creator of all things, the creator of you and the creator of me, he does everything for a purpose. He has a purpose, and he is purposeful in all that he does. God never does anything by accident. Everything he does is on purpose, according to his divine purpose. Hey, how many of you enjoyed the special appearance of Peanut the horse in our production tonight? Wasn't that horse awesome? That's a famous horse. He's performed before the president before presidents. So he's a famous horse. And you know, speaking of horses, and did you hear about the cowboy who applied for insurance? Well, this cowboy applied for insurance, and the insurance agent said, "Have you ever been in an accident?" He said, "No. But a month ago, my Bronco kicked me in the ribs and I broke two ribs." He said, "And then last year, a snake bit me in the ankle." And the puzzled agent said, "Well, wouldn't you call those an accident?" He said, "No, they did it on purpose." So here's a great biblical truth. The great biblical truth is God doesn't do anything accidentally, and you're not an accident. You being here tonight's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. Because God has a plan, and there's nothing that God does accidentally. And as a Christ follower, as someone who's following Jesus, or perhaps tonight will be your night when you rededicate your life to Christ, or you commit your life to Christ for the very first time, you have to understand something. You have to come to this realization. There are no accidents with God. You, my friend, are not an accident. Your life is not an accident. Your life is not a mistake. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're not an accident." I doubted it before tonight, but now I know. I'm convinced. You're not an accident. So nothing in life happens accidentally or by coincidence. Even the bad things that may happen in your life and in my life, even a car accident, which is usually the result of us, you know, neglecting to pay attention. It's not an act of God. It's not God's fault. God doesn't cause an accident, but God can use that accident in your life, in my life. And the lesson is this, that God is always good, and he only does that which is good, but he can even take the bad things that have happened in our life, and he can use them for good, because he's a good God. So that brings us to an important question that all of us ask. Really, most of our life, we go through life asking this question. What's the point? Some of you may be asking yourself that question related to Christmas Unplugged. What's the point? Maybe you're here tonight and you're listening to my message and you're thinking, What's the point? You know, that's the question that we really grow up with, right? How many of you remember when you were in high school and you were sitting in a lecture on some historical event that happened in the first or second century, and you're thinking to yourself, what's the point? How am I going to use this in my life in the future? Well, you can. Or you're sitting in an algebra class or learning geometry, and you're asking yourself, what's the point? I'm never gonna use this, you know, later on in life. And then it doesn't leave us. You know, we grow up, we get a job, and we ask ourselves, what's the point of this job? What's the point of my life? What's the point? For those of you that are businessmen or businesswomen, you work hard and you struggle to build a business and to succeed, only to get to that place you're like, what's the use? What's the point? Is there a purpose to the madness? Is there a meaning to my life that defines the entirety of my life? What is the purpose? Why am I here? And the more that life becomes chaotic, and the more it seems as though the world is spinning out of control and that we've lost all common sense, we have to understand there is a purpose. But that purpose can only be discovered when we come into relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the message to me of Christmas. It's not only about peace and power and God's presence, God being with us. It's about purpose and having a purpose for our life that can only be met in relationship with God. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Many of you know it by heart. It says, for we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His, what's that last word say with me? Purpose. You have been called according to God's purpose. And when your life and my life aligns with the divine purpose of God, all things work together for your good and for God's glory. There was a purpose in why God sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus was born as a baby in a stable or a manger or whatever you want to refer to it as. There's a purpose behind it. There was a purpose behind His life, His teachings, His miracles. There was a purpose behind His betrayal and His false trial. There was a purpose behind His death. There was a purpose behind the cross. There was a purpose behind Jesus being raised from the dead on the third day. There is a purpose. And it's only when you and I trust God's plan, it's only when you and I enter into the divine purpose of God for our life that we can begin to participate in the work of His purpose, God's purpose, in all of the earth. And therein we find purpose for our own life as God's prized possessions. We begin to seek Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to serve Him in all that we do. They say that the two greatest days of your life, the two greatest days of anyone's life, is the day that you're born and the day you discover why you were born. And it's not until we come into relationship with God that we come to the discovery of why we exist, why we are here, and why we were born. I love the great reformer John Calvin. And he said this once, all who are ignorant of the purpose for which they live are fools and madmen. I'll say that again. All who are ignorant of the purpose for which they live are fools and madmen. On Christmas, God sent His Son on purpose for a purpose to give each of us a purpose to live for. You see, Jesus understood the clear purpose for why He came into this world. Jesus said, for this purpose I, the Son of Man, has come into the world. Well, what is that purpose? Well, it's very clear. It's laid out in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John 3, 8 says this, and I love this verse. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Notice this now. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. I mean, how awesome is that? Jesus has shown up on the scene to destroy, dismantle the works of the enemy. How many know the devil's been working overtime lately, right? We've all seen the effects of the works of Satan in our world, in our families, in our lives, and yet there's hope. Jesus came to smash, demolish, and destroy the works of the devil. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Isn't it wonderful to know that this little baby grew up and he is the living Lord and Savior, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And what he did 2,000 years ago, he can still do today. He's still in the business of destroying, demolishing the works of the enemy in your life and in my life if we'll trust him. God's purpose for you and me, you want a reason to get out of bed every day and to get dressed and go out and tackle the challenges of life? Here it is. John 14, 12, Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works, because I go to my Father. Hey, Christians, let's get busy. Let's start smashing, destroying, and demolishing the works of sin and Satan in our world today. That'll keep us busy until Jesus returns. You know, David in the Old Testament came to a very powerful understanding related to our topic, the purpose of God for your life and my life. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it says this. It says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his father and saw corruption. Now, I want us to leave that verse up on the screen. I want you and I want us to say that verse together out loud, but I want you to replace your name with David's name. Okay? So here we go. For Carl, did you say your name? Don't say my name. I wish my name was in the Bible, but it's not. It's not. So say your name. I'm going to say my name, you say your name. Here we go. For after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. You cannot experience corruption. You cannot experience death. You cannot experience termination this side of heaven until you have served the purpose of God in your generation. There's hope for all of us, because for many of us, we haven't even gotten started yet in serving the purpose of God in our generation, because you're thinking to yourself, what is the purpose of God for me in this generation? To serve him. To serve him. To serve him with all your heart, to love him, to honor him, to follow the teachings of this baby that grew up, that we know as the Savior of the world, who bled and died on a cross for your sin and my sin, and then on the third day was raised from the dead and is alive right here, right now, today. He's in the world today. To follow his teachings, to obey his commandments. You want to make the world a better place? Let's start in our own lives, in our own families, in our own little world of influence. Let's begin to serve God's purpose in our generation. Let's begin to sell out and give everything, give our all for him. Let's be all in. Let's follow the teachings of Jesus. Let's follow the commands of Jesus. And let's love him more and more each and every passing day until he returns again or calls us home. That's God's purpose. Jesus didn't come so we could have wonderful pageants and plays and artwork and music and poetry and books and about his life. He came so that we would receive him, accept him, live for him, and love him. And that's what separates us from religious people. See, the religious person seeks to find purpose, meaning in life by keeping all the rules, by living a legalistic life, by striving to be close with God, by becoming a moralist. Nothing wrong with morals, nothing wrong with living by God's rules, as long as they're God's rules and not man's rules. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what motivates us. That's not what drives us. It's a love for God. So the religious person seeks to find purpose, meaning in life by doing everything according to the rules. The non-religious person, the secularist, they strive to find meaning in life by dedicating their life to some worthy project, perhaps some social cause, some humanitarian endeavor, or some hedonistic pursuit. And yet, after it's all said and done, because there's this God-shaped void in the heart of each of us, a void that only God can fill. Nothing else in this world, no experience in this world can even come close to filling the God-shaped void that's in the heart of every human being, because the Bible says that God's put eternity in the hearts of men. It's only when my heart and your heart comes in contact with the heart of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we become different than the religious person in the world, the secularist or the non-religious person in the world, and we become a Christ follower. We become a Jesus person. We become someone who each and every day is devoted to follow and to press hard after Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, that we're following after Him. We're following His teachings, and we're obeying His commands, and we're loving Him each and every day with all of our hearts. That's what Christmas, that's what having a purpose for your life is really all about. You know, we always end our Christmas Eve service in a very special way. We give everyone a candle on the way in, and so I'm gonna ask our worship team to come back up at this time, and I'm gonna ask you to take your candle, and I'm gonna ask my sons to come up here with me and give me a hand. Ma and Glory was in our last service. Guys, thanks. Candle. Yeah. Go get it, Gabe. Okay, he's better than I am. This candle is to remind us of something. It's to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. And He lights every man that comes into the world. That's what the Gospel of John chapter 1 says. He lights every man that comes into the world. Maybe the flame of Christ in your life has become dim. A smoldering wick, the Bible says He'll not snuff out. Maybe it's just smoldering right now. Allow the Lord to reignite a passion in your heart for Him like you've never had. Or maybe at one point in time you had, but maybe you've lost it. Allow the lighting of the candles tonight remind us that the only good that's in the world is the good that Jesus has brought into our world. And now we're to be the light in our world. Christ shining through you. Christ shining through me. So many things going on in our world will try to put that flame, that light out, the light of Christ out of you. Don't let it happen. Let's all stand to our feet. And we're going to begin to sing Silent Night. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister life and grace and peace to you, your spouse, your family, and God's work in your life.
Silent night, holy night.
I love my torch, it's not working.
All is calm, all is bright.
Somebody else have a Thank you for Jesus being the light of the world. And thank you that He brings light to everyone that believes. And thank you that, Lord, sometimes it feels as though our life is being engulfed in darkness. We simply need to look up, because Jesus is the light of the world. We thank you that, Lord, you are lighting our hearts to be ablaze and on fire in our love for you. And thank you that, Lord, you're reigniting the light and the life and the love of the Spirit of God in homes, in families, in marriages, in relationships. Thank you for your healing, restorative power at work this Christmas Eve as we celebrate the great gift of God's Son coming into the world. Life cursing the darkness, as the old saying goes, or we can light a candle. And darkness isn't a force, but light is a force. If all the lights were completely turned out and only one candle was burning, that light would permeate this and fill this entire room. Never underestimate the power of Christ working through your life, in your home, at work, at school, wherever you go. Jesus said, you are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Let our light for Jesus burn brighter than it's ever burned before as we finish out 2015 and as we enter into a brand new year. God is good.